School is out for the summer for many kids, and if not, it will be soon, and that means camp is in session. But after a year of masks, Zoom school, quarantining, this summer seems like it has special meaning for campers and their families as kids venture out, many for the first time. So how do you let kids be kids while also supporting them after, you know, a tumultuous year? We want you to join the conversation. Are your kids heading to camp this summer? Are they in camp right now? What are you most excited or concerned about? Is camp beyond your financial reach this summer? And if so, what resources do you need to help your kids transition back into being kids? 1-800-423-8255. That's 1-800-423-TALK to join the conversation. Joining us now, Michelle Rowcliffe, the president of American Camp Association New England, which accredits hundreds of day and sleepaway camps in the region. And coming back to the show, Nick Teich, CEO and founder of Harbor Camps, which operates a handful of programs, including camp, I always have trouble with this, Aeronautic for transgender and non-binary youth. Michelle, Nick, thanks for both being here.
Thanks for having us.
Yes, thank you. Excited to be here.
And Nick, did I get it right? Aeronautic, right?
You did.
Yay! There we go. Okay, so Michelle, I'm actually going to start with you. Camps are open this year. We want to get to that. But let's just put this in context. Remind us, how did the pandemic impact the summer and day camp industry in Massachusetts and in the area last year?
Oh, my goodness, do we have to remind everybody? No, I hear you, and thanks for the question. You know, the summer of 2020 was really devastating to our industry in 2020, let alone to all the children and all the families who weren't able to have that experience. In the state of Massachusetts, overnight camp, sleepaway camp was not even allowed to operate at all, and less than 50% of our day camps opened, and those day camps that opened really opened with a lower capacity. So with the country coming to grips with COVID and our numbers being so low right now and so much work being put into the planning the last 8, 9, 10 months, we are so excited for 2021 and to be able to let kids be kids, go outside, have fun, enjoy what they should be enjoying in the summer, and really prepare for hopefully going back to school in the fall.
Nick, what does it take to ramp up to open? And is that harder if a camp has been closed for longer?
Well, we've been working on this for the past 15 months or so. So it's been a huge challenge. But I think that, you know, I don't know if it's easier or harder for people who were able to run last year versus people who didn't, like us. But it's been an incredible amount of work. I've learned a lot, most of which I hope to forget after this summer. But it's been a lot of work, and it's not for the faint of heart to go through this and plan this and be able to think that, you know, to hope that you can pull it off. And we certainly, you know, think we can. So it's been very difficult, been in a lot of meetings, gotten closer with a lot of camp director friends, which has been the upside of it. And a lot of us feel like we're all in this together. So we're ready.
I'm going to put the number back out. 1-800-423-8255. Are your kids going back to camp this summer, and what will it mean for them? We'll go to calls in just a second, but a couple more quick questions to the two of you first. Michelle, my understanding is that in the region, there were some camps that opened last summer, and those have actually become models for what to do now. Is that right?
Yes, we were very fortunate that in the New England region, there were camps that opened successfully and safely in 2020. There were a handful of camps in Maine who did this and who really became the models for great practices moving forward, sharing their learnings with the CDC and the EH&E on how to do this safely. What they did is really they layered their approach of non-pharmaceutical interventions, NPIs they called it, and it's everything that we've been hearing, social distancing, cohorting, masking, cleaning, not letting visitors onto camp. So the more you layer these practices, the safer it can be. And, you know, there were some stories in the media around the country of not so wonderful camp experiences. And really, those camps didn't take the effort to layer all these different approaches. So as Nick mentioned, planning for 15 months, there were so many camps sharing what they did to be successful. And as guidelines have changed over the months, what we're seeing is camps, you know, had plan A, plan B, plan C, plan D, and then they've adjusted as they came, as the guidelines have changed. But we did have some very successful camp openings in 2020.
So let me turn to you, Nick, briefly, and then I'll go to calls. Nick, what of those practices will be in place for your camps?
Most of what Michelle had mentioned, I mean, we are following the American Camp Association field guide, as well as New Hampshire regulations, as well as CDC guidance, and sort of, you know, all of the things right in there. So we are doing cohorting, you know, we are ramping up cleaning, we are doing stuff outside, we're layering the approaches of the NPIs. And as well, we have been pleasantly surprised by the amount of campers 12 and up who have gotten fully vaccinated already, which means they actually had to jump right on it when it became available. And in some ways, that's going to make things a little bit easier for those cabins and those kids, which is wonderful. You know, we wish that all the kids could have been vaccinated, but we cannot complain given the speed at which things are moving. So, you know, it's a lot to juggle and balance, but we're following all of the things Michelle mentioned.
1-800-423-2255 to join this conversation about summer camps, the importance of them this summer, whether your kids are going, if they can't go, what's lost by not having that experience. We've got Beth on the line in Framingham. Beth, go ahead.
Yes, hi. So this is going to be the second pandemic summer that my kids are going to camp. They went last summer to a Y camp, and they're going again this year. My 17-year-old just started today. She's a counselor for her second summer, and my 9-year-old will be starting next week as a camper, and it is just such a relief both last summer and this summer. It's just allowing them to be kids, really, and get off of screens. And they're both so excited, and we're thrilled that they're able to do this. We're just so grateful.
And Beth, day camp or overnight camp, just so we know?
Day camp for the Y camp, and then later on in the summer, my son will be going to a week of sleepaway camp.
Thanks for that call, Beth. I want to add one more caller here. We've got Bob on the line from Southend. Bob, go ahead.
Hi, Tiziana. Thanks for taking my call. I'm actually a child therapist, and I happen to also be on the board of a number of children's summer camps, including Nick Teich's, by the way, and on the board of a camp called Boston Explorers, which is an urban day camp for kids. And I have to tell you, from the point of view of a child therapist, kids just have been suffering. I mean, I think one of the things this pandemic has made us all realize are the limits of screens and the limits of social media. Kids have missed each other. I think they've missed just that freedom of play. And I kind of have to say, when I hear people talk about summer learning loss and we should put kids into summer school, they don't understand children. Children need to be with friends. They need to run around. They need to have exercise. They need to have a sense of autonomy that comes from camp. And then they will be in the mindset to go back to school. I wish every single kid in the country could go to camp and run through sprinklers and just, you know, have fun and eat ice cream and be with their friends. That's what they need.
Bob, thank you for that call. So Nick, with Bob having serving on your board, I'll turn back to you. Are you expecting different social emotional needs from kids this summer than in the past? I mean, you support vulnerable kids in your camps as it is.
Yes, we are. And actually, we've been very closely in touch with Bob throughout the year, and he's given us invaluable information about this and how the social and emotional health of kids and staff, by the way, is going to change. People are going to have to get used to socializing again. And for some kids, it's going to be the most amazing thing, and they're not going to miss a beat. And for other kids, they're going to be very slow to warm up and a little bit, I think, just pausing and saying, is this okay? I was just, you know, out of school for a year and a half or a year. And is this okay to to do this. And it makes me think about, you know, my anxiety or my depression or whatever they're dealing with. And you're right. I mean, our kids being transgender and non-binary, and we have a couple of other camps as well, all deal with that already. So it's compounded. So we are prepared to be dealing with perhaps some more social and emotional issues. However, I'm hopeful that a lot of the campers and staff will be so thrilled to be around one another that the support will lift them up and over that. So that's sort of the best way that I'm looking at it.
And Michelle, in general, in camp networks, you know, do camps, I'm assuming the majority of camps are nonprofit. That may be a bad assumption, and you can correct me if it is. But do camps have the resources to be prepared for the mental health needs, the social emotional needs? The kids may be coming to camp with this summer that they haven't in the past because they've never come to camp after a global pandemic.
I think it's a topic that the camp industry and camp colleagues started talking about really last fall. Folks knew that this was and could be an issue in 2021. So a lot of our conferences, our webinars, our coffee and chats was really focused on the social emotional health of children. So from what I'm seeing, whether it's for-profit or non-for-profit camps, they are putting the time, energy, money, resources behind the training to learn more about this. We're excited, you know, to be able to be, you know, the industry that's kind of the first to get these kids back and experience this, you know, whether it's their social emotional health or just even group work, like learning to work with kids in a group again. It's just such a different time. But 100% it is a focus of what camps have been talking about, as Nick said, like the last even 15 months. We knew this was going to be here.
And one more question to you before I go back to Nick. Nick mentioned being pleased with the rate of vaccination for kids 12 and older. What about kids 12 and younger, or excuse me, younger than 12, who can't yet get vaccinated? What are the preparations? Are there different concerns there? How are camps thinking about that?
Yeah, it's hard to answer it with one answer. You know, each state has their own set of guidelines. They supersede kind of the CDC and what their recommendations are. Each camp serves their own population. You know, they might have children with medical needs or medical backgrounds. So the protocols that are in place at each camp may vary. What we're hearing is, you know, some camps are going to mask indoors, not mask outdoors. Some camps are going to mask all the time because they found that there might be inequities in terms of folks being able to receive the vaccine. We know that our kids under 12 can't be vaccinated. Some camp operators I talked to said, you know what, even though our staff are vaccinated, at times we're going to have staff wear a mask to role model for the kids who have to. So it's going to vary camp to camp. You know, we really encourage families to talk to camp directors and really understand what their protocols are in place for 2021.
1-800-423-8255 is the number. Is there a memory from your childhood at camp that you want your kids to have this summer, this first summer after what in our lifetimes is an unprecedented year of lockdown? Again, that number, 1-800-423-8255. Nick, we're hearing so much about the benefits of what summer camp can do for a kid under any circumstances, but potentially, especially this year where there seems to be a real push to let kids be kids, even as we are concerned about things like learning loss and having been behind in school. There are a lot of kids who can't go to camp. How do we think about opportunities for those kids? And are there resources out there for families who can't afford camps? I guess I'll ask you first, Nick, and then also Michelle. You know, really thinking about families for whom this may not be an option without help.
Yeah, that has always been very important to us. We are a nonprofit camp, and we raise a lot of money for scholarships and financial aid every year. And this year's is no different. We are giving away more this year than we ever have. And we also have more campers than we ever have. So it's interesting. And it is something that we certainly never want to be a barrier for a child, especially who is in our population, who's transgender or non-binary, to be able to come to camp. It's huge for so many reasons. And so I think it's very, very important to have those resources. And I know there are lots of different foundations. I know ACA has different ways of getting scholarships to kids. There's lots of different great organizations out there. But for our camp, we specifically, you know, raise money for that because it's so important. We do not want a kid from who's a transgender kid from one background to not be able to come just, you know, as a transgender kid from another background is able to. You know, that's just not fair, you know, in our eyes. So it's really, really important. And, as everyone has stated this year, more than ever, to be together, to be with people like you, to have fun, to let loose, to be a kid, to get some of that back, because it's been scary for kids.
Michelle, what can you add to that in terms of that general question about the cost of camp? It can be very expensive. And we know between 2015 and now those prices have increased. The particular need this year and the fact that many families are hurting.
Yeah, I think Nick nailed it. We have camps, you know, on a spectrum in terms of cost. You know, there are all different kinds of costs. What I am hearing is that camps who fundraise for scholarship really had successful annual scholarship campaigns. Donors could really resonate with the idea of getting kids to camp. So I am hearing, similar to what Nick said, that camps are giving out more scholarship dollars than ever. I'd encourage families to call camps, ask if there are payment plans, you know, different kinds of creative ideas to get that cost down or to be able to budget differently. I do know that everybody feels that they want the most amount of kids to be able to experience camps. I even know camps that were 4-week camps that are going down to 2-week camps so that more kids can have that experience. So I would just tell families to really reach out to camps and ask the questions and develop a relationship with camp owners and camp directors.
Nick, I want to come back to you. Camp Aeronautic is for transgender and non-binary youth. We've talked about that. We are in a time where nationally we have seen a dramatic increase in laws and rhetoric targeting transgender and non-binary members of our communities. Are you expecting added needs and added trauma for kids coming to the camp beyond the pandemic, given the national climate?
Yes, we are. We're expecting kids to, you know, be coming in because they're exposed to the news all the time, and they come to camp. Most camps, they come to our camp without any electronics and no phones, and it, which is wonderful in a lot of ways, you know. But it takes getting used to, and they will come in, you know, just having seen all of this with sports and with healthcare laws and things that are, you know, like you said, a lot of anti-trans rhetoric, and particularly with kids. So depending on where they live, they may be more affected than others. And it is really important to be in a space where we can discuss that and we can give them optimism and give them role models. A lot of our counselors, our staff, are trans and non-binary, myself included, and we need to show the kids that we can be strong and we can get through this, and we've been here before, and we're not going to let people who just have hate or discrimination win over. They may win small battles, but they're not going to win ultimately. This is the way the tide is turning, and these kids are going to be okay. And that's a big part of what we do through play, just camp, you know, having our meals together, having campfires, going canoeing, and discussing politics while we're walking from activity to activity. So it's a really unique experience. And it is, I think, so important for these kids to get the message that they're going to be okay. It might not be easy, but, you know, they're going to be okay in the end.
So let's end on some joy. And Michelle, I'll start with you. A favorite memory from camp that you want to pass on. What does camp mean to you? Just briefly.
Yeah, brief is tough. I was a camp operator, director for close to 25 years. I think the end of the day campfire, when the whole camp is coming together, especially at the end of that session after those bonds have been formed. I mean, when I close my eyes, those are the memories that really are just so, so deep ingrained in my memory. And I can't wait for kids to experience that again this summer.
And Nick, how about you?
I would have to agree. And I think as a camper, I used to go to camp for 8 weeks at a time. And I remember sort of talking in the cabin late at night with friends and just the deep friendships I made that I'm still friends with people today. And the relationships that you can form and really come to understand and lean on one another. You know, just those moments where that happens. Those are what some of my fondest memories.
All right. Nick Teich, CEO and founder of Harbor Camps, which operates a handful of programs, including Camp Aeronautic for transgender and non-binary youth, and Michelle Rowcliffe, president of American Camp Association New England, which accredits hundreds of day and sleepaway camps in the region. Thanks to both of you for being here, and good luck with camp this summer.
Thank you so much.
Thank you.
Listeners, we're taking a break, but we'll be back. This is Radio Boston.